What's up, guys? Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast. I'm Harrison Wind. We are presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew beer locator on their website. Just type in your zip code. It tells you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery. Also, if you're local, stop into the DNVR bar right below me here, right below this podcast studio, the DNVR bar. We got tons of Breck Brew on tap, Avalanche Amber, Juice Drop IPA, Good Company Hard Seltzers, whatever you want. We got it here at the DNVR bar. Got a really awesome interview today on the Denver Sports Podcast, which I'll get to in a minute, with Jeff Morton. If you don't know Jeff, he has been covering the Nuggets for maybe longer than anybody. He covered the Nuggets during their Carmelo Anthony era, during melodrama when Carmelo got traded to the Knicks way back when, and had a great chat with him. It was like 30-40 minutes, which I'll play for you in a second, but we got into a lot of stuff around Carmelo Anthony. Jeff walked me through the entire lead up to Carmelo Anthony's trade. We talked about why Carmelo actually wanted to leave Denver. We talked about how much his wife Lala maybe influenced or maybe didn't influence his move to New York. And we also talked about if there's ever going to be a reunion between Carmelo Anthony and the Nuggets, if the Nuggets will retire his jersey, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll get to that interview in a moment, but I wanted to start off today's show with an opening rant about Michael Malone. Because if you didn't see, Michael Malone got an extension with the Denver Nuggets earlier this week. An extension that reportedly made him one of the highest paid coaches in the NBA. And that extension is well deserved. And I'll explain why. But I'll start by saying I have no idea why anybody would ever want to be a head coach in the NBA. It honestly sounds like one of the worst jobs in the world. Sometimes you get paid well, but I don't know if there's a more stressful job than being an NBA coach. You're always working. You rarely get credit for your team's success. And you're always the first one to get blamed when your team underperforms. You're the easiest guy to get rid of. It's a lot easier to get rid of an NBA head coach than it is a star player. But I do know that Michael Malone was always meant to be a head coach. He's the son of a legendary NBA coach, Brendan Malone. He lives and breathes the game. If there's anybody that was going to be an NBA coach, it was Michael Malone. And I want to go back in time and just talk about his tenure with the Denver Nuggets. Because if you go back to the beginning of the Jokic era when Michael Malone was hired, Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic, both their first years were the same year, 2015-2016. Michael Malone was not the most popular hire in town. He was not. To be honest, there weren't a lot of people covering the Nuggets back then. Not a lot of big voices to actually give their opinion. But people in Denver, from at least what I remember, wanted Mike D'Antoni to be the coach of the Nuggets. But Denver hired Michael Malone. It obviously was the right decision. In Michael Malone's first press conference, the very first thing he said was, "I know once we open it up for questions, we're all going to talk about pace and how I'm a guy that wants to walk the ball up the floor. I have coached 106 games as an NBA head coach. Don't paint me and don't put me in a hole by saying this is who you are." Michael Malone has always been very aware of the perception around him and what people are saying about him. And I always thought that was so interesting when in his first press conference ever, the first thing he said was, "Don't say I'm going to play at a slow pace, because he knew the narrative coming in. He knew the narrative was Brian Shaw played at a really slow pace, who took over for George Karl, who played at a really fast pace. And Brian Shaw, one reason people thought his teams sucked was because of the slow pace he played at. Michael Malone was very aware of that. But he came in and said that, don't pay me into that corner. I'm going to play to the strengths of my roster. And that's exactly what Michael Malone has done since then. He's played to the strengths of his roster. He's played to his personnel. And the Nuggets have actually been one of the slower paced teams in the NBA throughout the entire Michael Malone and Jokic era. And you got to give Mike Malone credit for a lot of things. You got to give him credit for originally centering the Nuggets offense around Nikola Jokic. Looking back on it, yeah, we can say it was an obvious thing to do. But think about it if you're in his shoes. Mike Malone got fired in Sacramento. He's still a pretty young head coach, but he's coming into Denver. It's his second job. He's got to be thinking, like, I got to make this work, or I don't know if I'm getting another shot. So he centers his entire offense, his entire team, at the beginning of his second season around an unorthodox second-round pick from Serbia, who a lot of people believed in, but nobody thought he'd be a franchise cornerstone even then. That had to be hard for Michael Malone to do in that position. You also got to give him credit for the connection he's built with his star players, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Few coaches that I've seen in the NBA go to bat for their star players like Michael Malone does. Michael Malone has always had Jamal Murray's back. I remember when Jamal Murray, in his first playoff appearance, in his first playoff series against the San Antonio Spurs, was awful in game one, and then was really bad in the first three quarters of game two. Denver almost went down 0-2 in that series. Who knows, that could have been the end of the Jokic era right then. But Michael Malone stuck with Jamal Murray. He had his back. He trusted him to come through. He believed in him. And then, of course, Jamal Murray led that game two comeback in the 2019 playoffs. Nuggets won that series in seven games. I know how much trust Mike Malone's had in Jamal Murray. That's been something Jamal Murray really appreciates. With Nikola Jokic, Michael Malone went to Serbia multiple times to bond with him, to build that relationship with him. Those visits, I really feel, were instrumental in building the bond and the trust and the relationship that Michael Malone has with Nikola Jokic. And he's done similar things with other guys on the Nuggets roster as well. Finally, you've got to give Michael Malone a lot of credit for just the culture that the Nuggets have built. Look, of course, culture in the NBA is determined by your star player. The best player on every team usually sets the culture for that organization. Nikola Jokic deserves most of the credit for setting the Nuggets culture here in Denver. But Michael Malone deserves a lot as well. And I think it goes back to his attention to detail, his preparation, his maniacal work ethic. Players always remark about how prepared Michael Malone is for every single game. They always speak really highly of how prepared he gets the entire team for a regular season game on a Tuesday night in November, a game that a lot of people would gloss over. He prepares for every game like it's a playoff game. And I really do think how dedicated he is to that part of his craft has helped set the dedicated culture that's really helped the Nuggets throughout the Jokic era. So Michael Malone, man, he is going to be the Nuggets' greatest coach of all time. I think early next season, he's going to pass Doug Moe in wins. He's going to pass like Doug Moe and George Karl in total wins, regular season and playoffs, potentially later this season if the Nuggets make another deep run in the postseason. But like I said, he's going to be the Nuggets' best coach of all time when it's all said and done. This contract extension pretty much affirmed that. And Michael Malone reportedly will be paid like one of the highest paid coaches in the NBA. And I think that's well deserved. So that was the opening rant for today. We'll get to Jeff Morton on Carmelo Anthony in 1 second. First of all, I want to tell you guys about DraftKings Sportsbook. They got some great odds boost. They got some great bets to make for the NBA right now, because in the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets for just betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Nuggets are playing the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans in-season tournament game. Throw down $5 on that, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problems with gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after assurance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball. Terms for this week's DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Nuggets are in New Orleans tonight against the Pelicans. I'm a little nervous about this game, Kale. I don't know about you. Friday night in New Orleans, in-season tournament, the Nuggets are all the way up to -5.5.
Take it. In-season tournament games, they've been taking these seriously. Jokic is playing 40 minutes tonight. We're good.
This sneaky part is the Nuggets kind of need this game for the in-season tournament, because the Pelicans, I think, are going to have a better point differential in the group. I will take the Nuggets -5.5. DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Also, Game Time. If you need tickets to concert shows, sporting events, check out the Game Time app. Nuggets games, Broncos games, Avs games. Game Time app is your go-to. They have these great last-minute price drops. You can download the Game Time app, create an account, use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, but again, create an account on the Game Time app. Use the code DNVR. You get $20 off your first purchase. Vikings Broncos for the Game Time game of the week. $144 is the cheapest ticket. You can get that on the Game Time app right now. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breck Brew. Let's talk Carmelo Anthony with Jeff Morton. Jeff, if you don't know, has covered the Nuggets forever. He covered the team during the Melo years when Melo requested his trade, when he asked out of Denver. We got tons of great behind-the-scenes stories from Jeff. Check out this interview. All right, joining me now on the Denver Sports Podcast, Nuggets media legend, Nuggets historian, Jeff Morton. Thanks for coming on, man.
I wore the glasses for the historian look today.
It's a good look.
Except for the Do You Read Sutter Kane shirt, which no one here
watching. I don't understand that shirt. No. Do you want to explain it?
Or? It's a movie. Okay. Movie reference. It'll make me look worse if I explain this, so we're not going to do it.
Anyways, if you guys don't know Jeff covered the Nuggets during the Carmelo Anthony years. Yep. And still writes. I saw you writing on Denver Stiffs again about the team now.
Yeah.
So he's been covering the Nuggets forever, and I had to have him on because I want to talk about Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
And Jeff lived and breathed the entire Melo saga when he requested a trade, got traded, and all the aftermath that came with it. So very excited to have you here, Jeff.
Well, thank you for having me. I don't get to talk about that era of Nuggets as much as I have post like 2013.
Yeah.
It's amazing how different it is now. And which actually goes without saying, because, you know, we've got a championship here now, so no one really thinks about it, but it's a fascinating time to talk about.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about it because every couple of months, it seems like Carmelo Anthony surfaces on Nuggets Twitter.
Right.
he comes to top of mind of Nuggets fans. I think this time it's because he was at a Knicks game and got recognized, and a bunch of actually it was our producer Kale who quote tweeted the tweet and said, "Yeah, we don't want to retire your jersey." So I'm actually blaming Kale for this this latest one. But every couple of months this happens, Carmelo gets brought up. We talk about if we should retire his jersey. We talk about his legacy with the Nuggets. And I don't know if you've seen, Carmelo's on a PR tour right now. He's starting his own podcast. He was on the Hot One show. He was at a Ravens game last night. Anyways,
he's hitting his places where I grew up spots.
Yes. So I wanted to have Jeff on to talk about Melo. I want to go back to start to kind of the days leading up to the Carmelo trade request.
Okay.
The Nuggets that summer, they were coming off a first-round playoff loss to the Jazz.
Okay.
That was the Deron Williams, Carlos Boozer, Paul Millsap-led Jazz.
Yes.
They beat the Nuggets in six games. If you remember, George Karl, battling throat cancer, stepped away from the team. Adrian Dantley took over. Things kind of fell off the rails after that. What do you just remember about that time in Nuggets history, like those couple months after the season ended?
The interesting thing about that era was the Melo's dissatisfaction actually began prior to that, probably at the trade deadline that year. The Nuggets, Melo had a firm belief that the Nuggets needed to have a big to counter the Bynum-Gasol thing, which is what stemmed from the 2009 Western Conference Finals.
Right.
And what that did was it put in this tension between Melo thinking that he needed to have the same power that LeBron did in Cleveland with like dictating personnel and all that stuff, and the Nuggets' belief that they had what it took to have a George Karl coach team be a contending team. The year started off tremendously. It was the Nuggets had, I think, one of the best records in their franchise history going into the All-Star break. And it was right at that time George announced that he had cancer. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think, a week after the All-Star break, after he coached the All-Star team.
Yeah.
And what happened was they had Adrian Dantley come in intermittently because George was actually still coaching after he announced that he had the cancer. So he would do the chemo, come coach, and then do all that. Long story short, he had Adrian Dantley, and none of the players respected Adrian Dantley. It was very clear. And there were some incidents during the playoffs that people know about now, with Chauncey refusing to come out of a game.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to sub in Ty Lawson, all this stuff. Things went dramatically downhill. So starting at the All-Star, the trade deadline, and then going into the end of the year, I think a lot of circumstances combined to where Melo started looking another direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that offseason really kicked off with a Mark Kisla column.
Mark Kisla, friend of the show.
Yes.
Not really, but kind of.
Kiz had a... And if you're watching this, hello, Mark. He had a column from basically it was from the Nuggets saying, like, if this extension that we extended to you, which was 3 years, $65 million.
3 years, $65 million.
Which seems quaint now, doesn't it? With that.
That's like that's like Vlatko Chanchar money in a couple years.
It is. They extended him this. Melo refused to sign it. And this set up in motion the events that became known as, I forget who coined the phrase, the melodrama. And it was the Mark Kisla talking about how the Nuggets will not be Mutombo'd. Basically, mm-hmm. we're not going to have what happened to us in 1996 happen again, even though Melo had a year left on his deal. And it went from there. And therefore, the events of the melodrama started. And I believe that was June or July of 2010.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the wedding happened, right?
Yes, it was shortly after that the wedding happened.
Carmelo Anthony that summer marries
Lala,
his longtime girlfriend Lala, in New York City.
Yep.
And of course, at that wedding, it's now widely known that Chris Paul made a toast.
Yes.
And his toast was talking about how he, Carmelo Anthony, and I guess it would have been Amari Stoudemire, were all going to team up in New York and form this big three.
Yes.
Josh Kroenke was at that wedding, right?
Josh and Stan.
And Stan.
Josh and Stan were at this wedding. And I think, you know, they both would deny it. I haven't talked to Josh about this, but they both would deny that. But I think that obviously, and it would, with me, rub them the wrong way. Now, that didn't come from Melo, but it came from one of his best friends.
Yes.
And that obviously was going to set in some bad vibes. Now, while all this is going on, Harrison, the Nuggets, like, were in management flux.
Right, because Mark Warkentin was done with the team.
The Nuggets
Masai Ujiri was coming in.
The Nuggets did not renew the contracts of Rex Chapman and Mark Warkentin. Wark later said the Nuggets offered him an extremely low ball offer, so there's disputing reports on that. But I did know Wark a little at that time. Interesting guy. The thing you got to know about Stan Kroenke.
Is that his voice?
Yes. Okay. And so obviously there was a little bit of that going on. But and then Stan, in order to buy the St. Louis Rams, had to give up operational control of Denver Nuggets. This was all happening at the same time. All of this was happening at the same time. So Work and Chapman are gone. Brett Baripp is basically, who is part of this front office structure of a three-headed monster. He was basically neutralized. And Josh comes in. He gets control, I think, in July. And they have to quickly get a general manager, so they bring in Masai Ujiri, who at that time had worked in the Toronto organization, but prior to that had worked for the Nuggets as their lead international scout.
Yes.
So they bring him in, and he's brand new. And then they have a fateful meeting with Josh Kroenke, like, immediately after Masai gets hired.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a ton going on that summer. I mean, you were coming off a turbulent season, another first-round playoff loss. You're shifting general managers. The roster is a little in flux, which I also want to get to. And then I was reading this Woj article from August 2010. Woj was with Yahoo Sports. You got to go back and find this article if you're watching this or listening to this and want to read it. August 2010, Woj writes, Melo tells Josh Kroenke that he wants to be traded. I think this was like one of Josh's first days on the job whenever Melo gave him the official trade request. He took over the team, like you just said. Woj writes that the leading contenders for Carmelo Anthony, the Nets and the Clippers, also some dark horse contenders, the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Charlotte Bobcats. The Charlotte Bobcats only thrown in there because of Melo's Jordan deal. Michael Jordan, the owner, of, like, somehow that was going to get Melo to Charlotte. Okay. Right. Woj wrote that the Knicks, quote, aren't considered a strong contender in the eyes of Denver management. From your recollection, was it always the Knicks or the Nets?
It was always the Knicks.
It was always the Knicks.
People need to understand this. There's this video that in my last article that I wrote on Denver Stiffs came out last week. I included this video. If anyone remembers this, during that year, the 10-10, the really tense melodrama year, the 10-11 season, there was an erroneous report based on, I don't know what it was based on, maybe some rumors. And this was one of the worst days I ever had at Denver Stiffs covering at this time. And this rumor came through that Melo had been traded to the Nets.
Which was wrong. This was a report from Channel 7.
Channel 7.
This was on December 15th. I have this in my notes. Channel 7 reported the Nuggets and the Nets have come to terms to trade Carmelo Anthony.
The Nuggets had just blown out the Orlando Magic at home. And there is this moment. And I talked to some people who were there in the locker room at the time. Melo went like this, white.
He was like, I did not the Nets, not the New Jersey Nets.
New Jersey
they
Nets
were still
at the
in
time.
New Jersey at the time.
Right. And it was a false rumor. It was never true. So that told you all you needed to know about the way, what Melo thought about potentially going to the New Jersey Nets. It was always, always the New York Knicks. Always. That mm-hmm. is exactly where he wanted to go. And he left it to the Nuggets to make it happen. Another side note to this is that Melo fully expected to be traded before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that contributed to the issues during the year is that, to his credit, Masai Ujiri wanted to get as much as he possibly could, and he was using the New Jersey Nets against the New York Knicks and played them perfectly.
Look, and if you're Melo, going back to that time, in Melo's team, I mean, he was backed by CAA at the time.
Right.
Leon Rose, probably the most powerful agent or one of the most powerful agents in the game.
GM of the
now
New
GM
Knicks.
Of the Knicks. He had Worldwide Wes in mm-hmm. his corner too. I think he might have actually been the one to tell Josh Kroenke.
It was Wes, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're looking at it from Melo's perspective, he's like, all right, I got this incoming first year GM who nobody knows. Inexperienced. I got Josh Kroenke just taking over the team. I can probably strong arm my way to the Knicks before the season starts.
Right. And I talked to, I remember at the time, most of the sources I had were saying it's the Knicks, the Knicks, the Knicks. Don't believe anything else. It's the Knicks.
Yeah.
The Nuggets were trying to make it seem like the Nets were legit contenders and all this, which the Nets had to believe. So there was extensive talks of this, and the Nets and the Knicks had to believe that in order to, especially specifically James Dolan, mm-hmm. had to believe that this was the possibility. All credit to Masai Ujiri for making this the absolute best that he possibly could out of the situation. As a brand new GM, Masai made his share of mistakes in Denver, but this was a masterstroke as far as I was concerned. He really played the leverage game better than I think anyone possibly could considering the circumstances.
He played it so well that on January 19th of that season, the Nets officially publicly pulled out of the deal.
Prokhorov.
Do you remember this? Mikhail Prokhorov, who was owning the Nets at the time, made a statement that they're out. And then do you remember the George Karl quote?
No.
On Prokhorov? He goes, George Karl, I think I've been one of the guys who have kind of been hinting to you that this is a lot farther away from happening than you all think it's going to be, but we've got a fun game, a hell of a team to play against tonight, and I'm more excited about that than my billionaire friend from Russia kind of throwing another curveball or knuckleball into the process. That was January 19th.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that at this time, and I don't know if it was in January or December, the Nuggets used to have this annual event, which they since moved to Pepsi Center's the Gold Crown stuff that they do, this ball, this gala that they do. Well, they were used to do fan things, and Andy Feinstein, the founder of Denver Stiffs,
just saw him the other day at the game.
Yes, he and I went to this event that they had, this place called The Big Game, which it's no longer there. Don't look for it. It went out of business like 2 weeks after we were there. but it was this place downtown. And we saw a very tense situation there. Any fan who went to this event from the Nuggets saw a clique of people. It was Carmelo, Chauncey, JR, all kind of in an enclave in a corner, not mm-hmm. interacting with the fans or anything like that. George was around holding court like he usually did. Kenyon was mingling with the fans and playing poker and stuff like that. But it was that you could cut the tension with a knife. And that's how tense that entire season was until Melo was traded. It was just It was getting unbearable even by December, January when we were there.
Well, he ended up playing 50 games.
Yep.
Like,
he played most of the season with the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, what was... from my recollection of it, he was still, like, playing hard. He played well. Like, how bought in was he? Or was did he just have one foot out the door the whole season?
I equate this to Andre Iguodala playing hard in 2013. I think both of them gave their best effort despite their circumstances they were in. Melo did have some moments where he was checked out. And George would complain about the effort he was giving in practice and stuff like that.
I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah. But in fact, I think I wrote about it in December that year about one of George's complaints that he made to me. But he did overall play well. And I think he had a 40-point game his last game in Denver.
Really?
He had 40 points against Dallas Mavericks and fouled out.
What a swan song. Then he finally gets traded on February 21st, 2011.
Right.
To the Knicks.
Yep.
Melodrama is over. If you look back on it, what's the central reason why you think Carmelo Anthony wanted to get traded away from the Nuggets? There's probably a lot of reasons, but what is the overarching reason in your opinion?
Yeah, he wanted to be back on the East Coast. But I think really that's one, and 1B would be that he says that Masai came to him and said that the Nuggets wanted to go young.
Yes.
And Melo didn't want to be Todd Helton, essentially. He didn't want to have a rebuilding squad around him while he is the market draw for the team as they stay competitive. I don't know whether his interpretation of Masai's comments was accurate or not, whether Masai... obviously, they had a decision on Kenyon Martin. They had a decision on J.R. Smith. They had a decision on Chauncey Billups.
Mm-hmm. He was also very upset about them getting rid of Dante Jones. He has said that publicly.
Yes, which is interesting because Aaron Aflalo played really well that year, and that's who they gave Dante up for. And Melo was playing at an MVP clip at the beginning of the season. And that arguably was a better team than 2009-10 Nuggets team was arguably better. The one 10-11 was not. That's the one that had Sheldon Williams and Al Harrington on the squad. But I think Melo's perception wasn't necessarily what Masai was thinking. But whatever was communicated to him, Melo took to heart.
Yeah. And everything he said publicly about the trade has been like, I wanted to leave because I didn't want to be in a rebuilding situation.
Yeah.
Like he publicly has doubled down on those comments that the Nuggets were definitely going to rebuild, which they didn't really end up doing anyway. Yeah. I mean, the haul they got from the trade was good enough to still contend.
Stan Kroenke has approved a rebuild full teardown once. Mm-hmm. 2002, 2003. One when they won 17 games in the entire 23 years he's owned this team, it's happened once.
Yeah,
so I don't think there was any way that Stan was going to say let's do a full teardown. He just doesn't operate that way.
How big of a factor was Carmelo Anthony's wife in him wanting to go to New York?
I think the perception of Lala has been overblown. I do think that it was a factor, but I don't think it was the factor to the extent that it was played up to me. I'll put it to you that way. Mm-hmm. She definitely tolerated Denver. I don't think she ever liked being out here. She's from New York. And for that matter, Melo is an East Coast person, and sometimes the vibing doesn't work. But I always thought that was, based on everything I know, it was way overblown. I think people needed a scapegoat. Yeah. For the situation. And I think, unfortunately, Lala bore the brunt of that.
Mm-hmm. One thing about Carmelo that grinds my gears a little bit is I remember when he became a Knick and when he talks about the Knicks in New York, and he's always like, I'm from here. I grew up here. Bro, you lived there until you were 8. Then you moved to Baltimore. I just had to put that in there.
Did you read a recent interview with him? He did that again. And then
I'm telling you, he does this all the time.
And then he said he lived in New York till he was 12. No, he didn't. You left when you were 8, and you grew up in Baltimore.
Yep.
I mean, if I was from Baltimore, I would be kind of upset about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, so many years have passed since the trade.
Yeah.
Carmelo's had other stops. It certainly seems, though, that he identifies as a Knick.
Yeah.
He's always at Madison Square Garden. He's always at Knick games. He has not been to a Nuggets game since. We like to talk about, you know, during the playoffs last year, we're like, man, it would be awesome if Carmelo Anthony came to a game. I don't think he came because I think he was scared of being booed. And I think that's the reason he has not come to a Nuggets game.
Yeah.
What's your read on why he has ingrained himself so much with New York and has not really tried to reconnect with the Nuggets?
I'm on an island here, and I think people are going to have to hear me out on this. As someone who covered the team and went through hell with all the ridiculous people from New York and New Jersey who invaded Denver Stiffs.
I'm sure the traffic was off the charts.
Oh, Denver Stiffs never had any higher traffic.
Yeah.
And in fact, after Melo left, it cratered. And that's another factor that I'm going to bring up here. Melo, not single-handedly, but good 80%, his fame and his talent brought the Nuggets back from basically the dead. And my view is that he needs to be appreciated for what he was able to do in resurrecting basically a dead franchise. Melo identifies with New York because the Knicks accept him.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say the same thing about Denver Nuggets? Have the Nuggets done anything? Anything? Have the Nuggets even acknowledged the Western Conference Finals run in 2009? It is like when Melo was traded, everything was like 2003 to 2011 was erased. Mm-hmm. It no longer exists. And it's weird. And that's what actually got me thinking. When I wrote my article about that, that's when I'm like, there's a massive gap in the Nuggets' appreciation for their history, which is, well, it's been an organizational thing for the Nuggets going back to the 80s. They've always had issues with this. But I wish, and just speaking for me, I wish the Nuggets would have the wherewithal to be the bigger person here, and I don't think they have. Melo owes his part to it, and Melo has not acknowledged what has happened and its effect on the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a massive gap in the appreciation of a Denver Nuggets franchise, and you know me, as someone who is someone who appreciates the history of this Denver Nuggets team, it bugs me. It bugs me that this really pivotal part of the franchise is kind of not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it needs to be like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's at all because the Nuggets now have the best player in franchise history and just won a championship and have had this new era over, you know, the last 6-7 years that it ended a lot better than that era did?
Maybe, but I will say this. The Nuggets showed their angst with Carmelo Anthony by in 2012 when they gave number 15 to Anthony Randolph.
I didn't think about that.
Had nothing to do with people need to separate Jokic from this. This is the Nuggets versus Melo and had its effect on the fans. Forget about retiring the number. I think that's a conversation for way, 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 way down the line.
Well, I'm going to ask you about it in 10 minutes.
So. I preemptively destroyed Harrison's conversation by saying that. I think this is more about the Nuggets at that point in time were like, screw you. And they gave his number to Anthony Randolph.
Yeah.
the founder of the Anthony Randolph principle, which is if Anthony Randolph is your leading scorer, your team lost. Okay? So literally, that is exactly what the Nuggets did in 2012. That shows you how bitter they still were at that point in time. And quite frankly, it upsets me that it's kind of still remained the same since then. As a just it's great. I'm not talking about the players or coaches or anything like that. Just an up above that, how it just kind of remains like that. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, I never thought about them giving 15 to Anthony Randolph. Obviously, I've thought about them giving 15 to Nikola Jokic, and you know the talking point with that has always been, oh, they never thought Jokic was going to be, you know, this type of player, obviously, a Hall of Famer, the best player in franchise history, so they never thought about having to retire it. But the fact that you bring up that they gave 15 to Anthony Randolph makes me think that the Nuggets maybe decided when that happened that they were never going to retire Carmelo Anthony's jersey.
That's if I was writing, I would say Taps knows, because that's 100%, at least in my view. I haven't talked to Nuggets about this, probably never will. But when you do that, you give it to Anthony Randolph, who is not, I mean, God bless Anthony Randolph. He had
Way more hype and like positive buzz than Nikola Jokic did when.
Yeah,
they both got their respective number 15 jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, he was a player that they amnestied Birdman Anderson for. They had to amnesty him in order to sign Anthony Randolph. So,
I know your answer to this. You don't think the Nuggets retire his jersey?
I just don't think it matters, because I think people are hung up on it, and everyone has their tribes when it comes to this sort of thing. I'm of the view that before any of that needs to be even considered, the Nuggets and Melo need to have a detente, because there has been nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And it's like, who's responsible? And now, I mean, like, I know, I mean, I'm going into podcast mode. I'm going to ask you a question, but is there a point to where you think the Nuggets or Melo will reach this? Because it's been 13 years. There are people who are watching the Nuggets right now who never saw Carmelo Anthony as a Denver Nuggets uniform.
Yeah. Do I think there's a point where they reach a reunion of
sorts? Do you think they will?
Yes. I actually do think eventually there will be an olive branch extended by maybe the Nuggets. Maybe he initiates it. I don't think it will be in the short term.
Do you remember when he was in here with the Blazers, and it was during the playoffs and he got booed?
Yeah.
And I think people made fun of him for his reaction. I think Melo was genuinely surprised he was still being booed after 13 years. Or at that point, it was 10 years. And I think at that point is when it started occurring to me that how long it had been that Melo was not part of the organization. And how weird it was that even after 10 years, he was still being booed as if it was the first time he came in with the Knicks in 2013, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is when it started dawning on me. It's like, what are we? I mean, I can only speak for me, folks. I you know, come at me on Twitter if you want to, but I just think that we've reached a point in time where it's become ridiculous. And something needs to happen, because we can't just erase history. You know,
right.
We just can't do it.
And I mean, to your point, you said it a couple minutes ago, Carmelo Anthony did resurrect a franchise that had nothing going for it.
Let me just tell people how bad the Nuggets were, in case you have no memory of this. They didn't make the playoffs for 8 straight years. They had 2 years where they won 11 games and 14 games. The year before Melo got there, they won 17. The year before that, they won 25. And it was a just a one of the worst franchises in professional sports. It was them in the 90s. It was them and the Dallas Mavericks who were the worst. Mm-hmm. And Melo, along with some, he had some help, but Melo and his fame. I mean, I don't know if you remember how famous Carmelo Anthony was. He had just won the title with Syracuse.
Yeah.
He and Jerry McNamara had just beat Kansas in the championship game. Mm-hmm. He was ridiculously famous, and people don't know how close the Nuggets came. Well, maybe they do, to picking Darko Milicic. I think this should be burned in everyone's brain. It could have been worse, folks.
The Nuggets might not be here right now if they pick Darko. They might not. So, look, I think if the Nuggets do retire his jersey, it's a long, 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 long way away. Yep. Because you would have to retire Nikola Jokic's first. And then I think you can really have a conversation. There is some precedent to teams retiring the same number twice. The Knicks did it with Earl Monroe and Dick McGuire. They both wore 15, funny enough.
Yep.
The Blazers retired Terry Porter and Bob Gross.
Yep.
I don't. Have you ever looked up Bob Gross's stats?
I have not.
They're not pretty. I don't know how he got his jersey retired.
Terry Porter was a good player, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, final kind of question for you, though. Like, where do you think Melo and a potential Nuggets reunion, makeup, olive branch goes in the next several years? Do you think that is a possibility? Do you think that could happen?
The Nuggets are going to have to set the conditions to where Melo won't get booed.
How would they do that?
They're going to have to make do go really baby steps for this, because as I said before, the Nuggets haven't helped themselves with this Melo thing. They kind of haven't put tamp down the fires and respected the era he's been in. So it's like kind of about this festering wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Nuggets are going to have to like start with the baby steps, extend an olive branch to Melo, and maybe have some of the players talk about Melo and do all of the things that it would take to make the baby steps to where, and when, if and when Carmelo Anthony gets to a Denver Nuggets game, he won't be booed. Because yeah, at this point, I don't think he does. Folks, I understand we are upset that he asked for a trade out of here, but the Nuggets have won a championship. The Nuggets are now finals champions, which they will never with Carmelo Anthony. I think we can probably finally appreciate the era and understand that this one is better. I don't think it's an either or proposition, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, it's going to take a while. It's unfortunately, it's going to take a while, because this is like the Nuggets have let this wound fester for almost 15 years.
Do you have any more untold Melo stories that you can say publicly?
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm sure there's so much stuff that is just incredible, like incredible moments, incredible stories from those days, and just all the drama around the team.
The interesting thing about the end of the Melo, and this is more of a general observation, because there's a lot of stories I just can't talk about, but
yeah,
in general, the last part of Carmelo's time in Denver was by far the best. And it wasn't necessarily the time Melo was putting up his most gaudy stats, right? Mm-hmm. Melo's best stats actually occurred up to about the first Iverson year.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Chauncey gets here, he was scoring less but defending more, and there was a trade-off. But I think he played by far his best of his career in all-around basketball the last 2 years, and then the last year I kind of throw away because of the situation.
Yeah.
But 09, 010, and 08, 09 was the best I ever saw Carmelo Anthony play. And that is what Melo could have been in Denver. And I am disappointed that he, earlier in his career, he didn't go that direction. And it took Chauncey Billups being here in order to make him that way. Now, maybe that's an indictment on the way the Nuggets were constructing their teams at the time. You know, maybe he needed more guys like Chauncey Billups on the roster earlier in his career. But those two seasons, that's how I think of Melo. Like some of those playoff games, Melo was against the Lakers. The first two games they played against the Lakers in Owen, the best I ever saw Carmelo Anthony play.
Yeah.
Both defensively and offensively. He was a beast, actual beast. And then a couple games later in L.A., everyone collectively goes out and parties on the Denver Nuggets the night before, and they have no energy in the second half of Game 5, and it was downhill from there. But
they went out and partied before Game 5?
It was the old Matt Moore thing of L.A. nightlife is undefeated.
Was that the inception of L.A. nightlife being undefeated?
Well, it probably is.
Wow. Jeff, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate the stories, the context around Carmelo Anthony. You guys can follow Jeff on Twitter at JMorton78, Colorado Sports Guys podcast. You're writing on Denver Stiffs again.
Yep.
Anything else you want to plug?
I also do a podcast called The Gen X Show, which I think D-Line would appreciate if he was as old man as me. But other than that, that's what I do. So I just kind of have my hand in a whole bunch of media, but no one wants to hear about promote me. Like it's like, I don't know.
Thanks for coming on, Jeff. All right, man. Thanks to Jeff for coming on. Some great insight and context on Carmelo Anthony's final days in Denver. Got a couple super chats. Let's hit those before our final break on today's The Denver Sports Podcast. Our guy Clarity. They should retire this question. No, I'm good to retire this question. I want this to actually be the last time any Nuggets fan talks about Carmelo Anthony.
I won't bring it up again, I promise.
I'm blaming you, Kale. Yeah, you heard the interview.
Me. Yeah.
I'm blaming Kale for this episode of the Denver Sports Podcast and the latest discourse around Carmelo Anthony. It's on you, Kale. Gerardo, Melo game winner against the Bulls looked dead inside. I don't remember that one. I mean, the most iconic Melo game I remember is, of course, or I guess most iconic Melo moment is his game winner in the playoffs against Dallas. I don't remember the Bulls one off the top of my head, though. I don't. Let's hit a quick break. Got some final thoughts on the other side as we wrap up on the Denver Sports Podcast today. Guys, go to thednvr.com to become a DNVR diehard. Become a DNVR member, man. You get so many perks from being a DNVR diehard. You get a free t-shirt at every sign-up, designed by D-Line. You get one every year as well. 20% off all merch, always. Exclusive savings on all events. You get access to the diehard-only Discord channel. It's just smart sports talk all day, every day in the DNVR Discord channel. You also get 15% off your tab at the DNVR bar. Exclusive merch. You get a physical diehard card as well. So many awesome perks. You get access to the DNVR Daybreak, the newsletter that I write here. You also get access to tons of content behind the paywall on thednvr.com. We do two Nuggets roundtables a week, me, Adam Mars, and Brendan Vogt on thednvr.com. Only diehards get to read those. So become a DNVR diehard member, $7 a month. Go to thednvr.com. Also, make sure to check out FOCO. FOCO is the leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise with a product line that includes apparel, accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and more. It's the best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. A lot of our set decorations, bobbleheads, they came from FOCO. They are officially licensed, so legit, legit stuff. FOCO, F-O-C-O. They always have our back for Colorado sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code DNVR for 10% off. Also want to shout out Breckenridge Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the Denver Sports Podcast. Breck Brew is the official beer of DNVR. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew Beer Locator on their website. Just type in your zip code. It shows you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery no matter where you are. Also, if you're local, stop into the DNVR bar. We got tons of Breck Brew on tap. Avalanche Amber. Juice Drop IPA, Broncos Country Pale Ale, all your favorites. We've got them here at the DNVR bar. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, wrapping up today's show. I just want to react to a couple things Jeff said. One of them was his point about the Nuggets not recognizing those mellow years anymore. And I saw you guys in the chat kind of disagreeing with what he had to say. And I kind of disagree with it as well. And maybe it's just because we're coming off this championship and we now have a guy wearing number 15. And it's actually not even about the number 15 in this case, but we have the best player in franchise history. We have the guy who's going to be looked at synonymously with the Denver Nuggets forever. And he has achieved so much more than Carmelo Anthony ever did with the Nuggets. Like, it took Nikola Jokic, you know, two appearances in the playoffs to get as far as Carmelo Anthony ever did in the playoffs with the Nuggets, which was the Western Conference Finals. Melo took a while to get there. Nikola Jokic did that in 2020 in his second ever time in the postseason. So I think part of it's that, like, I don't feel like right now we necessarily need to look back and acknowledge 2009 Western Conference Finals run. It was a good run. It just doesn't seem that integral to me to look back on it right now, just because we are in the golden era of Nuggets basketball. That being said, I definitely think there will be a time and the place in the future to look back on it and recognize it. And I think that's what Jeff was getting at as well. Also, the impression I got from Jeff, now I don't think the Nuggets are going to retire Carmelo Anthony's jersey. Specifically because he noted how they gave it to Anthony Randolph. I think that is actually when the Nuggets made up their mind if they were ever going to do it at that moment. Guys, thanks for tuning in to the Denver Sports Podcast today. I'll have another guest next week. Stick around. We got Nuggets game tonight. Nuggets at the Pelicans in-season tournament. That game is at 6. We'll have the pregame show at 5:30. We'll have the postgame show as well later on tonight on the DNVR YouTube channel, me and the fellas. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Talk to you next week. We all silly like the mayor.